that, Graham. Good morning, everyone. My name's Brendan McLaughlin. I'm one of the ministers here. Can I extend you a very warm welcome, particularly if you're new or visiting? It's great to have you with us today, and I really hope you stick around for continued fellowship over lunch. It's going to be a lot of fun. As Steve mentioned before, we're finishing our series, our little how-to series on certain aspects of the Christian life. And today is forgiveness, how to forgive. Now, as I hope our regulars are aware, Christians are called to forgive. The Bible's very clear, they want us to forgive. That's not easy, always, is it? It's not easy to forgive people. There are various concerns that pop into our minds about forgiveness. Here's one. What if that person has hurt me really deeply? Do I still have to forgive them if they've done something really bad? Or what about this one? Can't I just stay away from that person? Can't I just ignore them, shut them out, cut them out of my life rather than have to go through that process of forgiveness? Or how about this one? I thought I'd forgiven that person, but what they did to me just keeps popping up in my mind and popping up in my mind. Have I really forgiven them? Or I want to forgive them, but I don't trust them anymore. And, of course, how about this one? What will God do if I can't forgive that person? It's a hard topic we're looking at today. We need to acknowledge that from the outset. But it's also, forgiveness is also a controversial topic, whether you're aware of this or not. One of the best class discussions I had at Bible College was on the topic of forgiveness, and it was based around this question. Are we to forgive those who don't repent? Who don't seek forgiveness? Well, these are just some of the questions we're going to be covering this morning. You may have your own questions. If I don't cover them in the sermon, we're going to have a question time at the end where you can ask some of those questions. Now, this is a topical sermon. I'm not going to be sort of running through this this passage verse by verse. We're going to be looking at various aspects of the topic of forgiveness. And as you'll see in the sermon outline, one thing I need to sort of say is I've broken all the rules this morning when it comes to sermons. We're doing an 8-point sermon this morning. But what I'm trying to do is just give you some thoughts on forgiveness. Some of those I haven't covered, and you'll see them on the front page. There's some further thoughts that I'm not looking at in the sermon. But if there's anything else that we haven't looked at by the time we get to the end, please write those down and we'll have a chance to look at them later. But for now, let's seek God's help. And we'll dive in. Our Father in heaven, as the Lord Prayer says, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. But forgiveness, look, it just often seems beyond our reach. So Lord, we're going to need much, much more than just sharp minds this morning. We ask that you'll grant us soft hearts so as we can respond appropriately to your word. Lord, we ask that you'll give us heart of forgiveness, just as you have. Amen. Well, look, a bit of context as we begin about forgiveness. One of the things we need to realize up front is that forgiveness is not an end in itself. Forgiveness serves a greater purpose, and that greater purpose is reconciliation. Reconciliation. So the context of this whole passage is seen in verse 15. Have a look. What does it say? If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. So if someone does something wrong, in particular when it's against you, you're to confront them about this. But the purpose of this confrontation is not simply to sort of denounce them as some wicked, evil sinner, not to sort of point out all their faults. The end game is to win them over, to reconcile. Now, I don't mean to brag, but I've got a lot of experience in being confronted with my sin and faults. And it's not easy. It's not easy, is it, when people confront you? But let me tell you, it is better than the alternative. I'll give an example. About 3 years ago, I made a comment in a sermon that made a relatively new parishioner really upset. And he was so upset that he decided he was never coming back to church. The good thing was he had the courtesy to ring me and tell me that. And because he rang me, we got to discuss it. Now, as it turned out, the offensive comment I made was about the unsaved state of non-Christians. So what it actually offended him with was something to do with the gospel. And I'm actually very happy to offend people with the gospel. But the way I had said it could have been worded a bit better. I was a little too sharp and a little too in your face. But it was because he rung me that we were able to talk about this. And what happened was I was able to apologize for my wording, explain again what I meant by it. I actually ended up writing him a letter. And 2 weeks later, he was back in church. And what ended up happening was that gentleman, over the coming 12 to 18 months, became a real encouragement for me. If he hadn't rung me, if he hadn't confronted me, I never would have seen him again. Would have missed all that. But that's the end game here that we're looking for. We're looking for reconciliation. Need to keep that in mind. Now, look, I should actually add that depending on how serious and how hurtful the sin is, full reconciliation may not be possible in this life. You see, sometimes the hurt is so deep that the relationship simply can't go back to the way it once was. But here's the thing, the Bible still calls us to pursue some form of reconciliation. Even if we can't go back to the way it was, we are called to try and reconcile. There is very little worse than two Christians that can't even talk to one another because of some hurt that has been done between them. Now, although we're talking about forgiveness today, forgiveness is here so as we can reconcile. All right, now this brings us to our second point. So our first point is looking at the context. Our second point is the pivot upon which this whole subject hangs. All right, this is the crux of the matter. If we need to, if we really want to truly understand forgiveness, we need to understand that forgiveness comes from God. Forgiveness comes from God. What I mean is that our forgiveness of others stems from God's forgiveness of us. It is God who forgives first. And we see this in this parable that Jesus tells us. So in verse 24, we're introduced to a man who owes, our passage says 100 bags of gold. Is it 100? 10,000, goodness, 10,000 bags of gold. It literally means 10,000 denarii. No, talents, 10,000 talents. I'm getting all confused here. Now, if you go right down to the bottom of your page, there's a little text note right down at the bottom. It says that one talent was worth 20 years' wages. 20 years' wages. So 10,000 talents, commentators believe, has the modern-day equivalent of $1 billion. This guy owed $1 billion. Now, hands up, who has even heard of someone owing someone else $1 billion? No one. That is an enormous sum. It is a ridiculous debt, isn't it? And that's what Jesus' point is here. He's given us a ridiculous debt, someone owing another person $1 billion. There is no way this bloke is ever going to be able to repay it. And so what does he do? He does the only thing left to him. He throws himself at the mercy of the king. Verse 26, "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I'll pay it back." We then see something amazing happen. Verse 27. Where is it? It's up the top. "The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt," literally forgave the debt, "and let him go." And this is what forgiveness is. It's having the compassion to cancel someone's debt. And friends, this is what God has done for us. He's taken our debt, the debt of our sin, something we have no hope of ever repaying. And this is our $1 billion debt. And he's wiped it clean. He's forgiven us. Now, as our regulars will know, the way God is able to cancel our debt is because of Jesus' death. And this brings us to our third point, which is forgiveness is costly. Forgiveness is always costly. Have you ever actually sat and meditated on what it cost God to forgive you? What it cost him? Cost him his son, his closest family member. Now let's just reflect on this for a moment. What's most valuable to you in life? Let's just say you were given the choice, okay, between everything you own versus your closest family member, whether it be your spouse or your child, okay? So the choice is here. Your child, for example, is going to die, or, and if he dies, you get to keep everything, all right? We're talking your house, your car, your TV, your clothes, your bank account, whatever it is. All those things versus your son, your child. Or you get to keep your child, but you're out on the street. Which would you choose? That's a bit of a no-brainer in the end, isn't it? You choose your child, don't you? Of course you choose your child. Your child is more valuable than anything. Yet that's what it cost God. Now let me tell you, if there was any other way for God to forgive our sin, I guarantee you he would not have sent Jesus. He would have gone that other option. He would have given everything else to spare his own son. But God knew there was simply no other way to atone for the sin of humanity than for him, God, or more specifically God the Son, to take that sin upon himself. That's what forgiveness cost God. His son. Now, it's very similar for us. Forgiveness is costly. It hurts. It hurts to forgive someone who has wronged us. But God is not calling us to do something he himself isn't willing to do. That brings us to our fourth point. Our forgiveness of others stems from God's forgiveness of us. So let's go back to this parable. We've got this servant. He's just been forgiven $1 billion debt. What's the first thing he does? Verse 28, when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, or literally 100 denarii. Now, one denarius is about a day's wages. So 100 denarii is close to, what, 3 months' wages. Based on the average wage, that's around 20 grand. Now, that's a significant debt. That's not a $5 note. 20 grand. But compared with $1 billion, kind of pales into insignificance, doesn't it? Unlike the king, this slave, he shows no compassion. He throws his fellow slave in prison, verse 30. The king then finds out about this, and in verse 32 we read this. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours, that $1 billion, because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Note the link between the king's forgiveness and our forgiveness. Or the servant's forgiveness. What Jesus is saying is that Christians are called to forgive because we've been forgiven by God. You see, if someone hurts us, really hurts us, and, you know, Jesus chose 100 denarii to show it's a significant debt that's been owed here. It's a significant hurt. But even if someone really hurts us, that hurt pales into insignificance compared to the $1 billion debt we have been forgiven by God. If we have been forgiven much, shouldn't we forgive others, even for significant hurts? But, you might say, but, what if the person doesn't want our forgiveness? What if the person doesn't think they need our forgiveness? What if the person doesn't repent? Are we still to forgive them? Well, like I said earlier, this is the most memorable discussion I had at Bible college. Half the class said, you know, we must forgive regardless of what the person does. The other half said, no. Repentance is a prerequisite. They've got to ask for it before we can give it. Well, how do we solve this dilemma? Well, again, we look to how God forgives, us. Our forgiveness of others is based on how God forgives us. And what we find is that God only forgives those who repent, doesn't he? You see, if God forgave everyone, regardless, then everyone would be going to heaven. But that's not the testimony of Scripture. The question that this just nags away at me is would God ask his creatures to do something he is not willing to do himself? Well, I think the answer is a resounding no. But we see this in the passage as well. Jesus hints at it in the parable. Verse 32, the king forgave the servant because he begged. He said, I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me to. There's that hint of repentance in the passage. Forgiveness requires repentance. But, another but this is the biggest but of this sermon, all right? You need to understand this. The Bible all calls us to offer forgiveness regardless of repentance. All right, it's a small but important difference. I'll try and explain what I mean. So the Bible tells us we should not harbor bitterness. All right, this is Ephesians 4:31. You see, holding on to anger and bitterness, it just whites a person. It eats them from the inside. Now, how do we avoid this? We avoid it by coming to the point where we can say to a person, look, if you asked for forgiveness, and you need to because you've wronged me, right? We've confronted them. If you ask for forgiveness, I will be willing to offer it to you. I will endeavor to give that to you. I will endeavor to forgive you. Now, this is how it works with God. God offers everyone forgiveness in Jesus. But he only grants that forgiveness to those who repent. And now it may be that the person who's wronged you, they'll never repent. Your relationship will never go back to the where it was because they don't want it to. I mean, reconciliation is a two-way street, isn't it? It's like a handshake. You need two to reconcile. Maybe they don't want to do that. But if that's the case, we need to make sure that that lack of reconciliation is not our fault. We need to make sure we have done everything we can to get that process going. We need to be like the father of the prodigal son who stands at the gate waiting for his son to return. If we are sinned against, we must offer forgiveness. We must, regardless of whether the person repents or not. One more point I want to make before we look at our application. And that is, although we're called to forgive others, as humans, we're not actually able to forgive perfectly. Did you know that? We're not perfect beings. God can forgive perfectly. The passage that's read for us every couple of weeks after the confession. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgression from us. You and I cannot do this. We can't forgive perfectly like God because we're not perfect like God. Perfect forgiveness is beyond our reach in this life. There are Christians out there, for example, who desperately want to forgive their abusive fathers, but they're really having trouble to do that. There are Christian wives out there who have forgiven their husband's affair years earlier, but it keeps coming back when they see him talking to an attractive woman. You see, these are normal sentiments for fallen humans because we cannot forgive perfectly like God does. What we are called to do by the scriptures right here in this verse is to have a heart of forgiveness. That's what verse 35 is getting at, right down the bottom. Forgiving someone from your heart is having the desire to forgive. You're working really hard. You are wanting to forgive. Jesus knows we cannot forgive perfectly, but he wants us to have a desire to do so. Well, this brings us to our last point. While we cannot forgive perfectly, Jesus does not let us off the hook that easily. Right? Look at what happens, and this is frightening. This is scary. It sends a chill down my spine. Look what happens to the servant who refuses to forgive as he was forgiven. Verse 34. In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And then Jesus says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Now remember, what did this servant owe? $1 billion. There's no way he's ever paying that back. What Jesus is saying is that God is going to send to hell for eternity those who don't have a heart of forgiveness, those who don't want to forgive. And to be honest, that makes sense. You see, if someone is unwilling to even consider the notion of forgiving a certain person, who thinks that person is not worth forgiving, who would rather just cut them out of their life, well, that person hasn't really grasped how much it cost God to forgive us. See, a person who is unwilling to even try has undervalued the cross. A person with an unforgiving heart is a person with an unforgiven heart. Look, to wrap up, friends, if there is someone in your life, have a think. If there is someone in your life that you are not willing to forgive, not willing to forgive, what is Jesus saying? Is there someone in your life that you've simply written off? That you've cut out of your life, you've chosen to ignore, you've refused to reconcile with? You see, if there's someone you're not talking to because they've done something against you in the past, then you need to go back to the cross. You need to reflect anew on the cost God paid to forgive your billion-dollar debt, and then compare that with the 20 grand that person owes you. So what this passage says, if you cannot forgive and cannot reconcile, you are undervaluing the cross. And that is a dangerous position for anyone to be in. So what do we do? Once we've reminded ourselves of what God went through to reconcile with you, we need to go about reconciling with those people that have wronged us. And this might mean going all the way back to step one and pointing out their fault to them. Maybe you haven't done that. Or maybe you haven't done it recently. It might mean handing over that expensive, that costly gift of forgiveness. Or it might mean going out of your way to be strangely loving to that person, to try and mend and reconcile that relationship. Now, you may not be able to forgive perfectly. You may not be able to reconcile completely. But this is what Jesus requires of us, his forgiven people. He requires a heart of forgiveness. Let's make sure we have such a heart. Amen. Well, give us a moment, have a think. And if there's any questions, I'll do my best.